Good afternoon, good evening. Happy to welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. It is good to be back here in the Lord's house, and thank you for making the effort to be with us here this evening. We look forward to Brother Greg and the ministry that we know he will bring for us this evening. We had a wonderful service this morning and a beautiful message that reminded us about our nation and our freedom that we enjoy in this country. And that's especially important as we think about this weekend and the holiday that we have tomorrow. And for those of you that don't know, Brother Greg has a wonderful heritage. His great-great uncle fought in World War II and received a Medal of Honor. And I believe there's a stretch of the highway that's named after him, right? So what a neat heritage to have as you think about the freedom that we enjoy in this country and those many, many who have given so much for the freedom that we enjoy. We'd like to share from our scripture, our theme scripture for the week, from the 21st chapter of the book of Alma. And it came to pass that he rent his coat, and he took a piece thereof, and wrote upon it, in memory of our God, our religion and freedom, and our peace, our wives and our children, and he fastened it upon the end of a pole thereof. We will join together now in the singing of hymn number 25, and we'll stand for this hymn, and Brother Tony will bring our invocation tonight.
Our Heavenly Father, certainly it is a privilege to be a part of Thy creation and witness it, and to be a part of this great nation of all the nations in the world to live in this country. And certainly it is a privilege to be a part of this gospel. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, this Jesus Christ. We thank you for his mercy and his grace and his love and his kindness. And Lord, we pray that you might be with my brother Greg as he stands behind this sacred desk this night, that your Holy Spirit might move upon him, even that Comforter, even that Holy Ghost, and that he might share those things which you would have for us to hear this evening, and that each one might be strengthened and edified. And so, Lord, we would ask for thy tender and gentle spirit to attend us here this night as we worship thee in spirit and truth is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good evening. It's been a little time since I've had the privilege of being here with you. For my scripture reading, I would like to open up to section 4 in the Doctrine and Covenants. I'm going to read all of verse 1. Now behold, a marvelous work is about to come forth among the children of men. Therefore, O ye that embark in the service of God, see that ye serve him with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, that ye may stand blameless before God at that last day. Therefore, if ye have desires to serve God, ye are called to the work. For behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. And lo, he that thrusteth in his sickle with his might, the same layeth up in store that he perish not, but bringeth salvation to his soul, and faith, hope, charity, and love, with an eye single to the glory of God, qualifies him for the work. And then again, I would like to read out of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. As always, it is such a blessing just to hear the singing of the saints. I was always taught that hymns sung by the saints are the same as a prayer sent to God. The position and rank of the servant isn't a popular one, and I suppose it's the highest rank achievable under the eyes of God, but according to man, it's a low rank. It's not a popular one. Oftentimes, people mix it up with being a slave. Those who render acts of service, whether it be for the sake of patriotism or for the sake of the gospel, whether it be seen or unseen by many, those are the lifeblood of the church. When I was about 9 or 10 years old, we would go to down in the Ozarks and go on these float trips. We'd go canoeing, and the whole branch would go down every year, and it was a time to look forward to. And just before we were getting ready to leave, we noticed, well, our lawn may need to be mowed. Our grass was getting pretty tall. We didn't have a huge yard, but it was rather large. It was about 3 acres of mowing to do. And my brother and I had been mowing the last couple summers beforehand, and our mower had just broke. We thought, oh boy, by the time we get back from this 4-5 day trip, this grass is going to be ridiculous just to try and mow. And it wasn't an emergency by any means, but there was another church member in the branch that had somehow caught wind of the dilemma, and he loaded up in his truck his lawnmower and brought it out to us. And when he learned that my brother and I, just a couple of small boys, were going to be mowing the lawn, he decided to go around every little tree just to make sure we didn't do anything we weren't supposed to with his lawnmower, and which was totally reasonable. But I remember thinking at the time, and I wasn't very appreciative of his act of service to us, the deed he had done to us. I was just thinking about my own pride. I thought, well, I know how to do this. I can't believe he's insulting me like this. But that's part of growing up. When you finally become an adult, or at least the time that you stop worrying about those things, I guess, is a sign of adulthood. But these acts of service that folks have done, I've never forgot them. I don't think I'll ever forget. I talk to people who been around for quite a bit longer than I have, a lot wiser, and they still remember things that folks had done for them since they were little bitty kids. And acts of service are not forgotten. A lot of what I say up here might have a good effect or a bad effect on you. You might walk away even say it was a great sermon. But in 3 or 4 weeks, most of what I've said will be forgotten. You might remember a few little bits and pieces, or might jot something down for some of your notes. But most of the sermons I've heard in my life, I've gotten a good lesson out of them, but I don't always remember them. But when folks have taken me aside and invested in me, taken time out of their day to render a service to me, that's something I've never forgotten. It is branded into my memory that I cannot forget it. When I was around 9 years old, eight or nine, somewhere in that time frame, I started going to work with my dad, and so did my brother. We were excited, and my dad was roofing houses full time. It's a very tough job, but as kids, you're just excited to do anything. Anything that's new is exciting, and so we were brought to work. Got up early in the morning, and about the first hour of work, we thought we was having fun. But after about an hour, hour and a half, we thought, okay, well, it's getting a little hotter. I think it's time to go play or find something else to do. I remember my dad saying, no, this is work. You're here till we've gotten enough done for the day, and then we go home. He didn't let us go down and sit down in the shade tree or play with anything else. We had to stay. And that was my first lesson on what was going to be awaiting for me when I became an adult. But it was good for me. Naturally, at the time, I wasn't worth very much. I was just a young kid, didn't know how to work or do anything. But my job at that time was to make sure he had all the shingles laid out just right so that he could keep continuing to going and putting these shingles down and nailing them down constantly over and over again. And the cause that I was supposed to be devoted to was to making sure that that gun did not stop. No matter what, that gun couldn't stop. I had to make sure he had nails in his nail pouch. And, of course, I did terrible the first several weeks I worked for him. He was patient with us and knew, you know, we were just kids. But there came a point when I was probably about 12 or 13 when I stopped caring about, the heat or exhaustion or the things that I wanted to do. And I gave myself to this cause, this work, knowing that I was going to have to be here. You know, I knew that there was no way out of it. I was going to have to be here. I might as well make the most of it. And so I gave myself to this cause and submitted. And I found that I worked harder. I enjoyed the work so much more. And, and of course, at becoming better at my job, not only did time fly by faster, but I was rewarded more from my dad or other men that he had sent us off here to go work for. And the rewards were great. You know, for a young kid that age, you know, I made a lot more money than a lot of kids that age. And I'm not bragging about the money I made. I actually squandered quite a bit of it before I learned how to save anything. But I learned that any cause that there is, whether it's the cause of Zion, whether it's the cause of trying to make a living, you have to have a willing servant that's willing to serve, diligently serve for that cause, to give up their time and to give all that they have for that. That's the lifeblood of this church. Those who do things that are behind the scenes, things that might be only respected or, in the minds or hearts of maybe one or two people. What I'm doing here might affect you temporarily or for a short time, might place something in your hearts, but something that's done behind the scenes for somebody or just one-on-one, they will not forget that for the rest of their life. It is a life, it is something that is a lifelong memory. It's a lifelong impact. And sure, it sounds like a lot more work, but it's much more rewarding. You know, we look at the story of Ammon. When Alma, the four sons of Mosiah, were converted before the Lord, they were offered the grace and forgiveness of Almighty God. They decided to go out among the Nephites and to teach them, to preach to them, to try to do anything they could to bring them to repentance. And a couple of them had been thrown into jail. Ammon had gone into the kingdom of King Lamoni and was brought before the king as soon as he entered into the kingdom. And he says, I want to serve you. I want to be your servant. And we all know King Lamoni didn't deserve the service that Ammon was rendering to him. He didn't deserve it. You know, he was just a typical Lamanite king. Maybe he had a good leadership in battle or something, but I guarantee you, by the code of Lamanites, he was a typical king. To hate the Nephites, to covet what they own, to destroy any progress of the church in their kingdom or their area, to accept murdering and plundering as a way of honorable living. So he obviously didn't deserve it, but it was rendered to him. And God blessed the service rendered to this king. The end result was that Lamoni was converted. Entire kingdom was converted. Folks, the heart of a servant can change so much. So often, we try to beat upon things with force or with just talking. Let me tell you, talking without some form of action, it usually doesn't mean anything. I've grown up around a lot of hillbillies, and what I mean by hillbillies, I mean very, very backwoods people. And I think Tony knows a few of my kin out there too, some of the farmers out there. And these people, they have no respect whatsoever for churches or anything, because all they see is the mega churches where they steal from the offertory plate just for the beauty of their sanctuaries, or for the beauty of their new $60,000 car. But if you actually go in and get down and get dirty and sweat with these people, you get under their hood and help them fix their car and get all greasy with them, they will take a different tone with you. Someone that's clean looking walks up and just tells them about the gospel. You know, these people are stiff and very proud, but if you get down with them, you'd be surprised what you can get out of these folks. Just to listen to you, to even acknowledge that there is a God. The heart of the servant can fix so many things. You can fix what's going on in your workplace. Your boss may be a terrible boss in your eyes. He or she may be somebody that you don't think deserves the service you have to render. But you're required to give that to your best as if serving the Lord. That's scriptural. At the heart of a servant is always so much happier. Someone that just gives without trying to, at the end of the day, always try to figure out, well, did I get enough in return? The heart of a servant is blessed by God. And it's not something that can be explained in a mathematical way, at least not with the words or understanding that I have. It can even fix marriages. There's a testimony of a preacher in Tennessee. He's a very, very strict preacher. He doesn't take money for what he does. He believes everybody has to work for his own. He's not a church member. He's a Protestant or something. I'm not really sure what he is as far as his alignment, but probably non-denominational. But he believes exactly as the scriptures, at least in the King James Version, teach. And he was counseling a woman who was struggling with her marriage. The woman was Christian, a believing Christian, and according to the faith of Protestantism, I suppose. And her husband wanted nothing to do with it. He was just the typical, hillbilly, wanted nothing to do with it, believed that he can get more out of fishing than he could going to church. And in some cases, if you're comparing to a mega church, then, yeah, you probably get a lot more spiritual food out of fishing than what you would going there. But, these two, this man and this woman, had decided that after about a year, boy, we messed up. I married the wrong one. And this preacher said, no, that's not the attitude. You can't have that attitude. You got to figure out how to fix it. That's the wrong attitude. There's only one instance in the scriptures where Christ says divorce is okay, and that's in the case of adultery. As accepted by the saints today, if your spouse is trying to kill you or something. This is how he counseled her. It doesn't matter that he doesn't deserve your love or deserve anything from you. The fact is that none of us deserve Christ. And he kept counseling her with this. So she learned. She learned after some time, and I guess they would meet once a week. She would learn. She went home and she served her husband. She served him the best that she could. If he wanted to go fishing, boy, she'd do everything she could to support him. Pack him a nice little snack or something, or if he'd want her to go along, he'd go with her. She tried to be at his side and just tried to change. And he noticed the changes, but it didn't really fix a lot of problems. He didn't want to quit, his drinking or his chewing tobacco, but. It's very interesting. As the story goes along, he began to notice more and more of his wife's devotion to him. And he began to think, I wonder what's going on here. And it was obviously unfair to her. It's obvious that if you're counting points and score, that she was given way more than he was. But this woman served her husband very, very well. And it got to where even at work, this man would go to work and he'd hear the other guys complaining about their marriages. They'd either married the wrong one, was their ideology or something like that. And he'd be standing there thinking, man, I don't have it this bad. And on one particular morning, I think it was a rainy morning, I think these fellas all work construction. They were standing around talking, this guy was bragging about his wife, saying, if we went on home, my wife would probably cook breakfast for us all. And these other men said, no, she wouldn't. So they all took bets on this, and they all bet against him, of course. And so he took him home and says, honey, me and the boys, we need some food. Can we get some biscuits and gravy? And she said, sure. She hopped right up. Set the table, set everybody down, made some biscuits and gravy, had it ready in no time, and she did it with a smile and a cheerful heart. And, you know, that man just sat there, according to the testimony of this couple and this preacher, that man was able to sit there and just smile at those other boys and say, look at my wife. You know, that day there was a change in this man. He began to wonder what it was so different about his wife, you know, because a year after they were married, they were just fighting and bickering, and they just were at each other's throats. And he had to know, what is with this woman? What, you know, what's going on here? I have to know why she's so happy. I want what that is. I want that. And, you know, he started coming to church. He quit his drinking, you know, and he was baptized in the way that most Christians believe is acceptable. But, you know, the man's life was changed. Their children's lives were changed. Instead of turning out in who knows what kind of horrible, disastrous way, all their lives were changed. And, you know, this woman laid up for herself treasures in heaven for the service that she rendered, obeying the commandments of God, but also for her temporal life here. She gained a husband that cherished her above every other person in the whole world. And that's not culturally acceptable today, because, you know, if your spouse isn't doing exactly the 50-50 thing with you, then most people just say, oh, no, you're not getting along. It's just time just to go ahead and call it quits. Give it up. Don't worry about fixing it. I tell you, as much tolerance is given to all the different ideologies, even some of the murderous ideologies in the world, all the tolerance given to so many things, aren't we supposed to be that much more tolerant with our spouses? You know, the Lord knows that your spouse doesn't deserve everything you have to give, and He knows that you don't deserve everything that you have to receive from your spouse. But it's given. Christ gave everything, and I tell you, if we got what we deserve, we wouldn't be here. The earth would have been burned up long ago. But by the mercies and love of Almighty God, we are here, and we still have that forgiveness that is offered to us. The heart of a servant is something that's lacking in our day, especially in the church. Selfishness abounds everywhere. It's like the scriptures say, every man walketh in the image of his own God. And as it says in the Old Testament, it says in those days, and this was just before the end of the Old Testament, it said, in those days every man walked in his own way and did what was right in his own mind. And that's a little bit of paraphrasing there. But think about it. Isn't that just like today? Everybody does what's right in his own mind. And that type of thinking caused, it had a cause and effect. The effect, the cause that that happened there from that thinking was there was a 400-year period between then and in the book of Matthew, a time where not much was written. Just you might go through some history books and find some things. I guess there was the Apocrypha, which there's a lot of mixed things in that you have to be very careful about. But, you know, there's not really a whole lot there. A time of spiritual deadness in a lot of ways. Folks, that's essentially what we've gone through for the last, how long has it been since the early 80s, 20-some years. So, you know, we've walked this long far enough, and the heart of the servant is what's needed. Folks, what you do in action, you know, whether it's taking time, you know, even if you're going to lose sleep and you got to stay up till 10 or 11 helping somebody do something, you could potentially save a life eternally. Even just one. Think of the joy that you receive for just bringing one person to Christ. It's worth it. It's worth it. I wonder how many folks I've thought about, you know, if I go visit this person, I'll bet you after visiting them over and over and over again and spending a lot of time with them, helping out with their stuff, they'd probably come back to church, or they'd probably, remember their covenant with their God. And I haven't done it because I thought, you know, that sounds like a lot of work. I'd end up giving up a lot of evenings and stuff. And I understand, you know, a person has a obligation to their family and to raising their children, but you have to make some effort. God can multiply your efforts and your service, even if it's not seen by many. You look at what the deacons do around here to keep everything clean. You know, we don't see it during the service. Most people don't even see it. Most people don't see the services rendered in private, but it's there. Our country is blessed with people who have been willing to give and to serve. This church, this lifeblood of this church is the same. those who have been willing to give up and to serve. You know, it's hard for me to think of, you know, the missionaries that would go out and they'd say, well, you're supposed to leave your wife and your children back and the church will provide for them, but you're going to go over here this far country. You know, you read stuff like that in church history and I think, I don't know if I could do that. I've got pretty strong roots at home and I would never want to leave. I've been asked by a few people to go a few places, you know, to other countries, and I find it very hard to uproot. I'm very selfish, you know, and you always have to remember, you know, whether or not God wants you to do those things. But a person has to learn to be selfless. Folks, I hope that we will become a people of action, a people that are known for our deeds and our works to our brothers and sisters. A wise man once told me that if you do a job wrong for somebody, they'll tell 10 people. If you do it right, they might tell one or two. But if you do it wrong, they will tell at least 10 people that you did it wrong. And so it takes some time to build up something right. But it is worth it because it is solid gold when it's built. My prayer is for us to become a people of service, a people that are selfless and that think less about ourselves and that learn to give more to others so that they can live. Because I tell you, there's a lot of stiff-necked people, especially in our country. And it's to the point where words are not going to pierce through their hearts. It's going to take some action. It's going to take some time. And if you have a desire to do the Lord's work, you're going to have to be willing to go out and to sweat and get dirty in some way, shape, or form, or even just sit and listen to what they have to say. It's going to take some effort, but let me tell you, the joy of doing that is so worth it. It is so sweet. It's something I can't explain with words. I don't have a lot of fancy words in my head to really bring out a lot of these ideas, but to those of you who know what I'm talking about, maybe you can use your words, I don't know, and maybe there are no words on this earth. It's a sweetness of the Spirit of God and the reward that comes to those who obey Him and render their service. Thank you.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, once again, Lord, we approach thy throne so thankful for the many gifts and blessings of this life which have been afforded to us. And Lord, on this day, your day, we have been called into remembrance of those things which we have received in this great country. Freedom. Freedom in so many different ways, Lord, that the world does not know. And we are a blessed people and we are a blessed land. And you have had your watch care over this land. And Lord, what a blessing it has been. And so, Lord, as we go forward from this place this night, I would ask a special blessing upon this congregation that you would continue to watch over and protect each one. And Lord, I would pray that as we go forward, we might remember those who have given their lives, not just for the freedom which we have in this country, but for those who gave their lives in this for this gospel, to bring forth this gospel from way back in the early days of the church, even from the time of Christ and his sacrifice, to our brothers and sisters in the Book of Mormon, and even our brother Joseph and sister Emma, and those who surrounded them. May we never forget, Lord, that which they have done, the sacrifice they have rendered to bring forth your gospel in these the last days. Lord, may we remember to be servants unto all those around us. May we seek after that servant's heart. May we be ready to put down ourself and to lay self aside that we might offer that reasonable sacrifice for you. Because we know, Lord, we know so well that it will be well with us if we do. And our joy shall be great if we can but do this. And so, Lord, I would ask this blessing upon this people that we might go forth and be able to do this. May we find that strength to lay down self and to sacrifice and to serve. Thank you so much, Lord, for the example that was set before us in your Son, Jesus Christ, in his life and his ministry. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for all you have done for us. And we love you and we thank you for loving us. And so, Lord, we pray this blessing now upon this congregation in the name of your most holy and precious Son, our Lord and our Savior, even Jesus the Christ. Amen.